Good morning and welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. We are so thankful and blessed that you are here to worship Jesus, our Lord and coming King, our risen Savior with us here this morning. As we open this time of praise and worship, if you would, bow your heads and your hearts and let's open up with a word of prayer today. Gracious God, we bless you this morning. We praise you for your mercies, for they are new every morning. We thank you for that. We thank you for your grace and for your forgiveness of our mistakes or sins or those things that we misstep out of life. And so, Christ, we just turn to you, to look to you to renew our minds, to renew our hearts, to renew our lives, that you truly might bless us with the joy of your salvation and the hope of a future spent in eternity with you and the hope of new life here on this earth, walking and journeying with you today and the days to come. And so, Lord in heaven, we commit this service into your care. We invite your Holy Spirit to quicken our hearts and open our minds and just make our steps and our path straight, glorifying you. We bless you now and we praise you. And we pray all this in the mighty name of the risen Christ Jesus, we do pray. Amen.
So good to be in the house of the Lord today, amen? As we stand and get ready to praise our Lord today, let's turn to the neighbor and say, I'm trusting in God.
Hear my humble
gods. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, we ask that you do not pass us by, Lord. Allow us to learn to lean on you and understand you and not be tempted to do things on our own, Father. Not be asleep at the wheel, so to speak, Lord. Let us not follow the world. Let us remember that you are the reason and we should be following you and trusting totally in you, Lord. Because we do belong to you, but we will be there with you, Lord. And all we know right now is we're not home yet, Lord, but we look forward to that day. Allow us to learn to trust in you. In all things we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Sometimes it feels like I'm watching from the outside. Sometimes it feels like I'm breathing, but am I alive? I will keep searching for answers, are you to find?
This is not where we belong, Lord, but allow us to learn to walk as you did. Allow us to learn to trust in you. Allow us not to rely on our own instincts, Lord. Allow us to rely on you. Lord, let us remember the significance of this day and all you've done for us, Father. As you found the disciples sleeping, Lord, allow us not to be asleep. Allow us to be on fire for you, being awake, Lord, and being alert, knowing not only the day that you're coming, Lord, the day that you tell us to be awake, Lord, and understand that you're here in this world with us, and we need to learn to rely on you and trust in you, Lord, because what a friend we do have in Jesus, and what have you done for us that we should deserve it. Lord, we thank you for what you have done, and all things we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege.
Father, we thank you for allowing us to have that friend in you, Lord, allowing us to be able to lay everything to you and learn from your example as you walk this earth. Lord, let us not be asleep. Let us not fall into temptation to not follow you and to follow the world. Allow us to stay focused on you, Lord, and trust in you for all things. For all things work out when you're in the middle of it, Lord, and you're the object of our faith. Lord, we thank you for everything, and all things we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Before we continue with this time of praise and worship, we just have a couple announcements we want to highlight. You'll notice a bulletin insert for the Easter Lilies. Today is the last day to get signed up for that. And so if you want to purchase an Easter Lily in memorial or in honor of someone, please fill that out and put it in the offering plate as we will be placing our order tomorrow. On the back of your bulletin, if you will notice with me, that right after today's worship service, we will be stuffing the Easter eggs for this coming Saturday, March the 26th, Easter Egg Hunt Extravaganza, which is an outreach to the children in the community. And we would just like to invite anyone who would like to help and be a part of that. I believe there's a couple thousand eggs that, you know, basically need to be filled with candy, and so many hands makes light work. If you're able to stay, we would invite you to stay. Lastly, this coming Saturday, as I mentioned, March the 26th at 2 p.m. in Williams Park, back at the pavilion, that's when the Easter egg hunt will be taking place. And if there are anyone here that would like to be a part of hiding the eggs, please be at Williams Park at 12 o'clock noon. Because, you know, as I said, a couple thousand eggs, it might take a couple hours for a couple people just to do that. So if you're free and you're able to come out and give a lending hand and be blessed by the Lord, please be at Williams Park at 12 noon. Also on the back of your bulletin, you'll notice with me the Holy Week schedule. And this, my friends, is Palm Sunday. And this is the beginning of the Passion Week that Jesus entered into Jerusalem, and he ate the Last Supper with his disciples. He was arrested and tried and scourged and ultimately crucified, and then he resurrected on Sunday. And so this week we will be partaking in having a Monday-Thursday service here at Trinity at 7 p.m. on Thursday the 24th, and then we will be participating in the Good Friday service at Shiloh United Methodist Church over in Helena. We would like to invite everyone who is able to be a part of those wonderful services. And then for those of you who are interested in being a part of the lay leadership training, which is coming up in April, Ray has informed me and announced that, you know, this end of this month, if you would like to be, you know, involved in that, please see Ray afterwards. The cutoff date to get registered on that, which is training classes. If you're interested in teaching, interested in being involved in leadership within, you know, Trinity here, you know, you can contact Ray, and Ray's sitting, you know, right there. You might raise your hand, Ray, for those who don't know you. And tomorrow is a special day, and you probably have already read in your bulletin, the flowers on the altar are presented in honor of Al Lee. Tomorrow he will turn 90. And so we need to say happy birthday to Al and celebrate with you this milestone. I think it would be appropriate if, Mike, if you would lead us in singing happy birthday to Al. Let's sing.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Al. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, Mike. Before we get to our scripture reading here this morning, the children for youth junior worship are dismissed for those in kindergarten through fifth grade. And if we have a special ministry especially prepared for you, you can go with Joanna and she will take you to the classroom for that. This morning's scripture reading is found in the Gospel of Matthew, the 21st chapter. And we will be reading the first 9 verses, so verses 1 through 9. As we read this scripture passage, a reading from the Gospel of Matthew, please know that the word Hosanna literally means to save us. And so as we read this portion of scripture, just think about what the crowds were crying out to Jesus to do for them. And so follow along. If you're utilizing the Pew Bible, you'll find this on page 1531. Let us listen to a reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 1 through 9. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent 2 disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him, Jesus, and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. May God bless the reading of his word. As we continue this time of praise and worship with the giving of our tithes and offerings, if the ushers would please come, may we give back a portion of what God has blessed us with.
Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me.
Praise and the thanks and the glory for the many blessings that you so graciously grant unto us each and every day. As part of those blessings, Father, we placed on your altar this morning our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them. Bless them and multiply them into your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. This morning, as I mentioned, is Palm Sunday, and this was the beginning of Jesus entering into Jerusalem to experience all of the events of Passion Week. And as I was studying and preparing for this week, I was struck with the fickleness of people. And I don't know about you, but you know, people in our world are fickle. You know, this being an election year and all of the campaigning and everything going on, you see people just changing the streams and changing the directions that they go. I mean, they truly are fickle. And as we read in Scripture out of Matthew chapter 21, you know, when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, the people were literally crying out, save us, O Son of David, save us, to the point that they were, you know, exclaiming who Jesus was. And then if you were to continue to read on and go to Matthew chapter 27, you would in fact find you know, the Pharisees and the scribes inciting the crowd, which I personally believe it was a different crowd. However, inciting the crowd to crucify Jesus, to crucify Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I have had these weeks where I have experienced the highs and the lows and the polarization of life. And many times life is that way, where it ebbs and it flows. And if you think about the beginning of Passion Week and what Jesus was about to experience, he was experiencing the undulation of who he was as the Messiah at the beginning, and at the very end, the absolute betrayal. But in the middle there, friends, my hope is that I will be able to give to us this morning a couple words of caution that Jesus gave to his disciples. And my hope is to give us three different ways that we can apply this to our lives. And I'll be honest, I'll be brutally honest, that I haven't always passed this test. But God's heart for you and for me is to live a life where we aren't fickle, where we are confident, where we are focused, where we have the courage and the strength that only comes from one place, and it comes from on high. It only comes from eternity. It only comes from the one who inhabits eternity, and it comes from the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And if we apply these words of caution that Jesus gave to his disciples, then you, my friends, and me, we will have that confidence, we will have that courage, we will have that strength that this world doesn't know. And that's my hope for this morning. You know, Jesus, he enters Jerusalem, and then he goes and he cleanses the temple. He drives out and makes a cord of whips with, you know, just the cords, and drives out the animals, and he proclaims, "My Father's house will be a house of prayer. It will not be anything but." And then he, you know, interacts with the Pharisees and the scribes, and he confronts them. And then ultimately he meets with his disciples, and, you know, they partake in the Last Supper, in the Lord's Supper, communion on Maundy Thursday. And then they go to the Mount of Olives in preparation for his betrayal, for Judas to turn him over to the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious leaders of the day. And he was in preparation for that from the very beginning. And they are at the Mount of Olives, and he is sleeping. And it's in this context, friends, that we see these words of caution, that I believe they're true for you and me. I believe they're true. They're eternal. God's word is timeless. It doesn't end. It will always stand. It will never pass away. The heavens and the earth will fall. They will be, you know, made new, but God's word will not fall. It will not pass away. And so at this account, where Jesus, he goes yonder to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, this is where we will find these words of caution. If you would, this is the heart of God. It's found in Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 41. And listen to these words. "Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I go yonder and pray.' And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, which is James and John, he began to be very sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, 'My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me.' And going a little farther, he fell on his face and he prayed, 'My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt.' And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, 'So, could you not watch with me 1 hour?'" Now here's the words of caution, friends. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I have to confess that years ago, I used to think that the hot buttons of the social issues of the day, and I could name a few, I will not name a few, but I have to confess that I used to think that doesn't affect me, that doesn't pertain to me. Let them live and let me live. And friends, that is not the case. The disciples were sleeping, and Jesus' command, his caution is for them to watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. To be aware. I have to confess that years ago with the politics, it would just make me nauseous. We're listening to all the pundits, you know, talking about the different, you know, policies and plans. But friends, it pertains to you and to me. It pertains to us. For if you are the light of the world, which you are, and God has made you to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth, then it matters to you and to me. This world, these people, they matter to us. And the word of caution that Jesus gave to his disciples is to watch and pray. And Jesus' heart, God's heart, is for you and for me to not enter into temptation, to not be taken into temptation. There are three different ways over this entire Passion Week that the disciples entered into temptation. The first, we find it right here, where they're sleeping. They're oblivious. They've stuck their head in the sand, and they don't really understand, nor do they care. They're more interested in what the flesh needs than what is really taking place and what is happening. Time and time again, the Lord Jesus proclaimed what was going to happen to them, and they chose to sleep. And so Jesus says, watch and pray. You know, I know a lot of people, and myself included, there are times in my life where I will be very watchful, but I will not pray. I will be very prayerful, but I will not be watchful because there's that disconnect. And what Jesus is saying, you have to be aware. You have to be watchful to what's going on in this world, what's happening, you know, not to be consumed by it, but then pray about it and pray over it and pray for that situation. And this, my friends, is exactly why I've been placing this insert in our bulletin, to pray. I'm not going to give you anything to pray for this week, because what God puts on your heart might be different than what he puts on my heart. What God is drawing you to be watchful about and to pray about may not be the same thing that God's going to be leading me to watch and to pray about. And so I challenge you. If you are being drawn to be interested in politics, and if you're being drawn to look at all the policies and all of the things that these candidates are putting out there, then I would challenge you to do that. If you are being drawn to learn about the social hot buttons of our day and to learn about what really is going on and what the agenda is, then I challenge you to put that down and to pray. Because, friends, that's the word of caution that Jesus gave his disciples. And the first way that you and I can be tempted is to just be oblivious and to think, well, it doesn't affect me. I have no horse in the race, so to speak. It doesn't matter to me. It matters, friends. It matters to me because it matters to God. And God matters to us. And because God matters, it should matter to you. And so the word of caution is to watch and pray so that you will not fall or enter into temptation. You see, the disciples, they entered into that temptation in giving of themselves over to the desires of the flesh. And we can fool ourselves by thinking, well, you know what, I'm not doing such and such. I'm not, you know, going out and being involved in such and such an activity. But that's hogwash. Jesus didn't say that you had to be involved in certain activities. He's saying, make sure you don't enter into the temptation of being oblivious to what's happening in the world, to being oblivious to what your role is. And friends, the Pharisees, the scribes, they were oblivious to who Jesus was because they failed to watch and to pray. They had been looking for the Messiah for hundreds and hundreds of years, and they couldn't even see him because they were not watching and they were not praying. And they entered into the temptation of self. So that's the first way that I truly believe that God is saying for you and for me in our day, in our time, to watch and to pray that we may not enter into the temptation of saying, you know what, we are all okay and the world is in trouble. No, friends, no, no. Our heart should break for those who are on the outside and have yet to come into a relationship and fellowship with Jesus Christ. Our heart should be grieved because of that. Because that is God's heart. And if we are truly watching and praying, then our hearts will be aligned with God's heart. And then we will be praying according to what God wants. But if we fail to watch, and if worse yet, if we fail to pray, then we're going to have the self-righteousness of the Pharisees. We're going to have the self-righteousness, the piousness, the arrogance of the scribes. And we are going to enter into temptation, individually and collectively. So that's the first thing that we can see. The second thing that we see is the connection that God wants us to see. Matthew 27, 18, 18 through 20 and 21. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you? Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the people to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Now you might be here sitting thinking that, you know what, I haven't been very watchful. I haven't been very prayerful. And that's okay, friends. But recognizing it is one thing. To accept it is a total different thing. If you recognize it and if you change and you receive the grace and the forgiveness of God, because friends, we all are Barabbas right here. Barabbas is us. A prisoner, an insurrectionist, a rioter, a murderer, a one who offended, you know, the Lord God, the one who lives in eternity. We, my friends, are Barabbas. And it's only because of the blood of Christ that we have been released. It's only because of the blood of Jesus that we have been freed. It's only because when we have failed to watch and pray, when we have failed and we have entered into temptation, sometimes the old enemy will, the arch enemy of our souls, the devil himself, will begin to speak to us lies. And that's where his power exists, is in the lie. And he will say that you are nothing. You haven't measured up. And then we buy into those lies and then we further do not watch and we do not pray. But know this, friends, know this, that until this point, you had all the disciples that had deserted Jesus, and even Peter, you know, Jesus had told him that before the rooster crows three times, you know, in the morning, you will deny me three times, or the rooster crowed two times, you know, got that flip-flopped, you know, but basically, that's the other thing. Years ago, I was involved in putting huddles for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes in schools. And I'd go to a school board and I would talk to them. And I'll never forget that, you know, one day I went to my alma mater, my high school, and I scheduled this, you know, appointment to go into the school board and talk with them. And I shared this with you before. I always thought, you know what, I'm like Peter. I'm never going to deny Jesus. I'm never going to do that. Lord, you take me to the ends of the earth and take me to the wall. I will not deny you until that day. Until this day where I walked up and I went to go into the boardroom and I realized that the time had been changed. They had never notified me. And then the three major news stations of the Youngstown-Warren area were all there with cameras. And I literally turned around and I said, I cannot go in there. And then I walked out to the back door of the high school and I had my arm on the breaker bar of the door and I was ready to leave and not come back. If you think, and you're here today, that you think you will not deny Jesus, I am here to tell you a different story. Because when you are faced with face-to-face of proclaiming your allegiance to the risen Christ and the whole world is out against you, I'm here to tell you, if you haven't watched and if you haven't prayed, you will enter into the temptation of denying Jesus. The disciples did it. They walked with him for 3 years. They ate with him. They lived with him. They saw the miracles that he did. They saw all the things that he had performed, the signs and the wonders, the things that proved that he was God and is God and all of these things, and they still denied him. They still walked away. They betrayed him. And friends, I know that if we don't watch and pray, before we even get to here, we will deny. We will walk away. Because the world is against, it is hostile to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you don't sow the seed of confidence and faith and strength in being watchful, in being prayerful, then the temptation for you to walk away from Christ, and you might be sitting there saying, "You're crazy, I won't do it." I know, friends. I said the same thing years ago. It's real. It happens. It happens to those who are strong in their faith. It happens to those who think that they cannot fall. But the scriptures tell us, let a person take heed lest they stand, lest they fall. You need to take heed and to watch and pray. You need to be prayerful. You need to be watchful of what's going on. And this, my friends, leads to your strength. It leads to your confidence. It leads to the assurance that you are going to walk with Christ. And so that's the second way, the second temptation. I did not put the scripture up there, but then we get here. And here again, I'll just share in my own personal life. There was a time in my life where I had such a need to be accepted. And you have the scribes and the Pharisees inciting this crowd and the fickleness of people in saying, come on, give us Barabbas, give us a murderer, give us somebody who is going to turn our society upside down, give us somebody that is no good for us, and in fact, this person may even do us harm. And the scribes and the Pharisees were inciting this crowd. And haven't you ever wondered, wasn't there anybody there to say, no? This isn't right. But people are fickle. We need to watch and pray that we don't get gobbled up and go with the way of the world. And that's what's going on here, friends. In my college years, I got gobbled up. I did things I'm not proud of because I needed, or I felt like I needed. I wanted to be accepted, and I wasn't watching. I wasn't praying. I was not doing those things. And therefore, I entered into the temptation of going with the crowd and going with the way that the society was saying, this is right. And the scriptures say there is a road that seems right unto a man, but it's a road that leads unto death. And this, my friends, leads to death. And we need to not only see ourselves as Barabbas and understand that we have done the things and we have entered into the temptation, and I'm not talking about any overt sinful acts. That's not what I'm talking about. But you know in your heart. I know in my heart. You know, when we failed to watch and pray, that we enter into the temptation of saying, ah, you know what, these politics, they're not for me. They don't matter. Yes, they matter. Ah, you know what, I'll never deny Jesus. Really? Really? I'm glad you can be sure of that. There's doubts with me. And I'm here to tell you, I spend a lot of time in prayer and reading God's word. And sometimes I wonder if somebody were to put me to the task, how I would respond. I won't go with the flow. I won't go with the way of the world. Really? The first step to recovery is accepting your denial. Watch and pray. And this is the call of God's, friends, for you and for me this day. The call of God. We see it at the very end. If we can go to the next screen. Matthew 26, verse 41. Watch and pray that you could take your Bibles and circle that three-letter word, may. May. May in the Greek is a subjunctive tense. And a subjunctive tense means it's the realm of possibility. And so what Jesus is saying right here is he is saying, if you watch and if you pray, then you have the possibility, the potential that you will not enter into temptation. But we could work this backwards and we could say, you eliminate watchfulness, you eliminate prayerfulness, and the end result will be the temptation. The temptation of being oblivious to what's going on in our world, of denying and betraying Jesus and saying, I know him not. The temptation of allowing the crowd, the world, society to influence you and me. I've seen it time and time with strong believers that I thought were strong. And little by little, and it's only one degree off. It's only a little bit here and a little bit there, and they are not being watchful. They are not being prayerful. Years ago, I went out on a boat on Lake Erie, and we went out 10 miles. And I was okay as long as it was sunny and it was daylight. Once the night came, all of a sudden, you're looking around, you can't see land anywhere, and you're thinking, oh, boy. So the captain of the boat, he set his GPS, and he had saved the coordinates in the GPS, and, you know, we were out of the Ashtabula Harbor. And the break walls over there, you know, you have big break walls and you only have these small openings to get back into the dock. And he, I asked the captain, I said, so you know where we're going, right? And he says, yeah, we'll be okay. And so he plugs in the coordinates of getting back. And it dawned on me that day that when he put the boat right between that opening and the break wall so that we could go back into the dock, that, you know, it's not the big things, friends. It's not the big things that will get us. It's that 1 degree that is off. It's 1 degree. You take 1 degree, and over a course of 10 miles, you are going to be far off the course, and your life is the same. You can say, I'll never fall into that, and that may be true. But you know what? If you're not aware of the small, subtle accepting of what society is throwing at you, and the only way to be aware is to be watchful and to be prayerful, to accept what Jesus has said, to watch, to pray, and then it won't be that small little degree. You will stay the course. You will stay true to what God has for you. And so as we enter this Holy Week, my prayer for you and for me is that you and I would be watchful, we would be prayerful, and we truly would not enter into the temptation that is all around us. We would live victorious lives. We would live confident lives. We would live lives of strength and assurance, and we truly would be the light of the world. We would be the salt of the earth. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for this nugget of truth that you gave to your disciples so many years ago. Father, we bless you for that. We pray that we would take it to heart, that we truly would be watchful and prayerful, that we would not enter into the temptations of just being oblivious to this world, nor would we enter the temptation of denying you, nor the temptation of allowing society, peer pressure, the influences of our world to encroach on our life. And so, Father, make us to be watchful people. Make us to be prayerful people, people that are watching and praying. And, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your promise, the promise of goodness, the promise of love, the promise of peace, and the promise of truth. And so, Jesus, may you find in us, you know, people, servants of you, brothers and sisters in the family of God, who are saying, I'm going to be watchful and prayerful, and may we not just say it, but may we apply this word of caution to our lives. We bless you, O Lord, and we thank you, O Christ. In the holy name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. Oh.
worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forever. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Oh, my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. I'll worship Your holy name. Yes, I'll worship Your holy name.
I've been told not to speak in absolute statements, but I'm a firm believer that if you and I, if we truly do watch and pray, that we will have 10,000 or more reasons to bless God's holy name. Amen. Truly, because we will not fall into the temptations that are so around us. And so as you and I depart from this place this morning, may the grace of God and the peace of the Holy Spirit saturate your soul, and may His truth be the anchor for your lives, and may you truly, truly, truly be watchful and prayerful. And may the Spirit of God lead you into all life. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.